distant hissing sound. It amazes me now to think that whole families lived in these little houses. My mum had six sisters, Nell, Elsie, Renee, Flossie, Kath and Phyllis, and two brothers, Joe and Jack, and on a Sunday it wasn't unusual for two or three of these other families to show up, and they would pass the gossip and get up to date with what was happening with us and with them. In the smallness of this house, there were always conversations being carried on in front of me as if I didn't exist. And there were whispers exchanged between the sisters. It was a house full of secrets. But bit by bit, by carefully listening to these exchanges, I slowly began to put together a picture of what was going on and to understand that the secrets were usually to do with me. One day, I heard one of my aunties ask, "Have you heard from his mum?" And the truth dawned on me that when Adrian jokingly called me a little bastard, he was telling the truth. The truth, I eventually discovered, was that Mum and Dad, Rose and Jack Clapp, were in fact my grandparents. Adrian was my uncle, and Patricia, Rose's daughter from an earlier marriage, was my real mother, and had given me the name Clapton. In the mid-20s, Rose Mitchell, as she was then, had met and fallen in love with Reginald Cecil Clapton, known as Rex, who was the dashing and handsome Oxford-educated son of an Indian Army officer. They had married in February 1927, much against the wishes of his parents, who considered that Rex was marrying beneath him. The wedding took place a few weeks after Rose had given birth to their first child, my Uncle Adrian. They set up home in Woking, but sadly, it was a short-lived marriage as Rex died of consumption in 1932, 3 years after the birth of their second child, Patricia. Rose was heartbroken. She returned to Ripley, and it was 10 years before she married again, after a long courtship, to Jack Clapp. They were married in 1942, and Jack, who as a child had badly injured his leg and had therefore been exempt from call-up, found himself stepfather to Adrian and Patricia. In 1944, like many other towns in the south of England, Ripley found itself inundated with troops from the USA and Canada, and at some point Pat, aged 15, enjoyed a brief affair with Edward Fryer, a Canadian airman stationed nearby. They had met at a dance where he was playing the piano in the band. He turned out to be married, so when she found out she was pregnant, she had to cope on her own. Rose and Jack protected her, and I was born secretly in the upstairs back bedroom of their house on the 30th of March, 1945. As soon as it was practical, when I was in my second year, Pat left Ripley, and my grandparents brought me up as their own child. I was named Eric, but Rick was what they all called me. Ripley, which is more like a suburb today, was in deep country when I was born. It was a typical small rural community, with most of the residents being agricultural workers, and if you weren't careful about what you said, then everybody knew your business. So it was important to be polite. Guildford was the main shopping town, which you could get to by bus, but Ripley had its own shops too. Every village had a sweet shop. Ours was run by two old-fashioned sisters, the Miss Fars. We would go in there, and the bell would go ding-a-ling-a-ling, and one of them would take so long coming from the back of the shop that we could fill our pockets up before a movement of the curtain told us she was about to appear. I would buy two sherbet dabs or a few flying saucers, using the family ration book, and walk out with a pocket full of Horlicks or Ovaltine tablets, which had become my first addiction. In spite of the fact that Ripley was, all in all, a happy place to grow up in, life was soured by what I had found out about my origins. And the result was that I began to withdraw into myself. There seemed to have been some definite choices made within my family regarding how to deal with my circumstances, and I was not made privy to any of them. I observed the code of secrecy which existed in the house. We don't talk about what went on. And attached myself to the family dog, a black Labrador called Prince. I also created a character for myself whose name was Johnny Malingo. Johnny was a suave, devil-may-care man-boy of the world who rode roughshod over anyone who got in his way. I would escape into Johnny when things got too much for me and stay there until the storm had passed. I also invented a fantasy friend.